Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Football Scout 365 podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here with all of the staff today. We got CSPM McLaughlin, Nate Parker, Brandon Lundberg, and we need your help.
What it do?
We need your help. We need you to hit that like and subscribe button and help us on our journey to 1,000 subscribers. All right, guys, we appreciate your support thus far. Thank you for checking us out. But without further ado, let's get to the show. All right, y'all. It's another version of Football Scout 365's trivia with none other the substitute, head of the class, feet on the desk, CSPN. Take on over, man.
What it do, fellas? You know, I got the blicky for. You know, I always like to come with it loaded. So I got a good one for you.
That's a weird place to pause.
That was a super weird place, but we'll go with it.
So
look, added the pause.
Insert Michael Scott joke here.
So look, there are four running backs in NFL history who have at least 10 seasons with at least 1,000 yards rushing. Who are they? There are four running backs in NFL history who have had at least 10 seasons with at least 1,000 yards rushing. Who are they? 1 second. So it's four of them. So what we'll do, everyone just gives me an answer. We'll come around until we get all four of them. I only go around twice, max. If you don't get them by the second go around, I give you the answers. So, Brandon, you go first. Who you got?
Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson, and Thurman Thomas. I don't know.
Okay. He was actually just supposed to give me one answer, but I'll take those.
Wait, I thought you said there was only...
You hit some in there. No, it's all good.
All right. Well, good. Maybe I'll get it right.
Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders. You gave me out of the, you know, four you just gave me. Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders was correct.
Nice. We got two.
And so it's two left.
I got one for you.
Who you got, Woody?
Jerome Bettis.
Nate.
Really?
Damn. Frank Gore.
Ooh, I know one.
That's a good guess.
Danian Tomlinson.
No, he wasn't 10. He had too many carries.
You guys are disrespectful.
Walter Payton.
Thank you. There's one more left. Yeah. You guys have given me Barry Sanders.
Jim Brown.
Emmitt Smith.
No, Jim Brown was out.
And Walter Payton.
Icky Woods. So Icky Woods has to be.
Icky Dang. Shuffle. Bangles, baby.
I'm not responding to that guess. I don't think that was a real one.
All right. So I'm trying to think of who's in the top right now.
It's going to be tough. This last one. I'll give each of you guys one more.
Earl Campbell.
No, he had a short
career. That's your last guess, Brandon.
Herschel Walker.
That's your last one.
Oh, wait, no.
I'm going to mute you.
Who? Tony Dorsett?
That's your last guess. Nate, you got one final guess. Like you got to put the Zonka team on your back, son. One guess. Who you got? You've been holding strong for 2 weeks. What you
Terrell
got
Davis
for me this week? I'm about to mute Brandon.
Terrell Davis was out way early.
I don't want to have to start a countdown.
I know.
You think you can edit like a ticker like down here? At the...
Right. Mm-hmm. Jeopardy.
Doo-doo-doo. Yeah. Well, you got 10 seconds.
I know.
Five.
Marshall Faulk.
Johnson.
Who?
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson. Okay. That's the last ditch. So the last one was Curtis Martin. That was a tough one.
Oh my goodness, the one everyone forgets about.
Yeah.
Just gets so disrespected.
Did Frank Gore have 9? Forgets about. Frank Gore had to have had 9.
Yep, he has 9.
Dang it!
AP has 8. Steven Jackson has 8, to my surprise. Damon Tomlinson has 8. Jerome Bettis has 8. Thurman Thomas has 8. Tony Dorsett has 8. Yeah.
That's not straight. I think Lamar Jackson will be there soon.
Lamar Jackson will be there soon.
All right, y'all. That was another episode of Trivia. Thanks for tuning in. First things first, guys. Tom Brady. The teasing has already begun. Brady says, happy with choice. But in the words of Justin Bieber, never say never.
Yeah, right? Right. It's just weird. One, I'm not surprised number one. Tom Brady, he has that same competitive drive that, you know, Kobe, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan retired twice and came back, right? So I think Nate said something maybe a few weeks ago about, oh, I bet Tom Brady takes a year off and quite possibly comes back. I think we all felt the same. So, I mean, it's not a shocker.
Nope, not shocked at all.
I'm going to put $5 down. What are the odds right now? $5 that Tom Brady is starting for the 49ers next
year. I will put two. I will put, what, next season?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, $0, but I bet by 2023, I'd bet $250 that he plays in 2023.
Who do you bet he plays for? Michael.
Who do you think he'd play for? I bet he tries to go back. New York
the
Jets.
The Patriots.
To really stick it to Bill.
No, I don't think it's a vendetta there. Anywhere that has weapons, not named Tampa Bay or New England.
To be honest, I think Brady and Belichick, when they played in New England in Week 4, I think they buried the hatchet. I think that's done. I think Brady proved all he needed to prove last season, winning the Super Bowl without Bill.
I agree with you that they buried the hatchet, but true competitors, like, even though a hatchet's buried, there's still like.
See, here's the thing. That's Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. They're psycho. Like they can pick something out of nothing, and that's the new focus, right? So it was, I need to prove that it was me, not Bill. And then this season, it was something else. And then if he comes back, it'll be something else. There's no focal point for why Tom Brady decided he's going to be great in that particular moment.
It's like telling your wife, like, yeah, I want a divorce. But I might come back next year, though. We might get remarried next year. Like,
give
like
me
bro,
some
you just retired 2 weeks ago. You just signed the papers.
Looking at the Bucks, and his departure from the Patriots, it all stems from personnel issues. Like, Tom Brady looked at the Pats and said, I can't do this next year. And he looked at the Bucks, I think, this year after everything that happened. He's like, I'm not going to have Godwin. I don't have AB. I can't do this next year. I think that's part of the reason.
Yeah,
I won't say it's the full reason because I think Tom Brady now lives a more fulfilled life outside of football. I think that's 100% accurate.
Yeah, Brady's calculated. We don't give him enough credit for being calculated. He's a smart guy. He's
no U of M grad.
Yeah.
Brandon, does Tom Brady come back?
I thought that he would. I don't know. I don't think so, honestly. I think it's done. I think he's going to, you know, he's going to feel, he'll feel the urge, but I don't think so.
There's something to be said about Tom Brady's preparation in off-season workouts. Like, his body's in peak football shape. If he doesn't stay in peak football shape at his age, coming back to peak football shape, it will be very, very difficult.
I imagine he will for at least a season. If he's saying just in case, I imagine he will for just a season. We'll see.
It's a lot of, like, I think we underestimate how often and how difficult it is to stay Tom Brady.
Oh no, we don't. I've watched Jeez. The what was the workout one? The workout doc, the first one.
Yeah. Hey, just so you know, Tom Brady has been getting a lot of offers to do TV, so
oh,
broadcasts,
sure.
Yeah, stuff like Tony Romo, color commentary type of. You
when
know,
are we gonna get
to see Tom Brady on TV?
When are we gonna get an NFL like NBA on TNT crew where it's just ex players
awesome.
Talking smack on the current players?
That'd
I'd love
awesome.
That. That'd be so great.
We gotta get these old guys out of here, right? Because right now they may say they have that, but it's Fox, right? And yeah. I don't know about you, but
it's Ryan Clark leads it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, right now you got like on Fox, Terry Bradshaw and Boomer and like all those. And look, I'm sure there's some 40, 50 year old men out there that love watching those guys on Fox, but I'm not really one of them.
Yeah. What about Michael Irvin and the crew over at NFL Network?
I like Michael Irvin. I like Steve Smith.
Get Steve Smith in there.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't even know what the hell he's talking about most of the time. I mean, man, it sounds good.
ESPN should back up the Brinks truck. And get him on Monday Night Football because.
Nah, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, they will, you know, back up the
Brinks
truck.
They are.
Time out.
They all are.
The Manning cast with Tom Brady, featuring Tom Brady every week, every Monday.
Or just Tom Brady doing the same thing somewhere else with like Charles Woodson.
God, him and Woodson, that would be
great. Randy Moss. I love Randy Moss.
I don't have any more drool left for Tom Brady. Can we slide? No more drool. Mouth is dry.
Well, we do need drool to slide.
All right, big fantasy implications here, guys. As we've all heard, the Pro Bowl was yesterday. Who cares? They're playing touch football. It's a joke. It's honestly sad. My favorite quote was Trent Brown, Pro Bowl tackle for the New England Patriots, who said, "Why the hell am I going to actually run around and try and hit somebody a month before free agency?" And I couldn't have heard smarter words.
<That's> so you can sweat out all the alcohol from the night before.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But some, I guess you could say, tragedy stroke after the game. Alvin Kamara, well, here's what the newest article information from ESPN says. This was just updated last night, 12:35. Video surveillance shows New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara punching a man approximately 8 times before Kamara's associates proceeded to stomp on him several more times on the ground in a Las Vegas casino Saturday morning. According to police reports from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, Kamara was later taken into custody inside Las Vegas's Allegiant Stadium on Sunday evening after he played in the Pro Bowl. He was interviewed by police, then arrested and charged with battery, resulting in substantial bodily harm, and he was booked at Clark County Detention Center. Kamara was released posting bail last night. That was Mike Triplett from ESPN.
Two things. First thing is, if I'm getting jumped by a group of guys, I'm definitely implicating the one that has the biggest chain on, number one. And secondly, I'm kind of like Dave Chappelle. I'm a victim blamer. It's probably not a good thing. But what did the guy do? Like, 8 guys don't jump on you for no reason. All right. I mean,
I'm betting he said something about his nose ring.
Maybe so. And look, we're also in Vegas, right? We knew something like this was going to happen this weekend, right? I mean,
this is what happens when you make Vegas your center.
Yep. Now you got Josh McDaniels out there leading the troops.
Okay. With that lane.
I don't know. The worst part is like fantasy implications. Yeah, but like, he was the single bright spot on that New Orleans offense.
Literally.
So,
the worst part is Woody didn't trade him.
You said was. He still is.
Sean Payton's like, man, I dodged a bullet.
A bullet, boy. Listen, Dennis Allen, he's like, damn.
He's going to be fine. You know why?
Sean Payton's like, you know what? Here's the thing. I had a conversation with Alvin. Before I made an announcement, he said, "I'm probably gonna go do something dumb during the Pro Bowl." So I was like, "All right, thanks for confirming. I'm out.
I'm out of here."
Settle by low,
but I mean,
he's gonna drop in your fantasy drafts next year. He's gonna
doesn't
get,
matter.
He's gonna get suspended for
it. Doesn't matter if he said Woody. Whoa, it doesn't matter if that's settling is a civil.
You guys issue. Are getting ahead of yourselves.
Paying the victim is a civil issue.
Tell Ben Roethlisberger that.
You guys are getting
Time out.
The video, yeah. I haven't seen it yet. Is it blurry?
What I will tell you is that when Big Ben did what he did, or sorry, was alleged.
He did it twice.
Time out. When that allegation was made, that was a different world in a different time. We do not live in the same world as we did then.
It's true, but Big Ben paid him off twice.
Yeah.
Then he went on Fox News, told everyone, "No, I'm a Christian now. It's okay."
Stay away from politics here, but there's a difference between settling the civil and then not facing criminal charges.
Yeah, that's cool.
He can settle the civil.
Alvin can join the church choir.
Get him on Fox News. Yeah. He'll wear the Make America Great Again hat and.
Oh no!
Yep. He'll do all that.
I think you guys are underestimating how much.
They might give him a bonus check.
Exactly.
No, I feel what you're saying, Nate. But when you have money, it's just different. It's just different. He's gonna settle. He's gonna get good lawyers. He's not gonna catch a charge, and then it's gonna be conduct behavior. So I'm guessing he gets maybe 2 to 4 games.
We don't even know if it was him. Y'all think he's doing jail time or he's getting
suspended
next season?
No jail time.
He's getting
like, damn.
He's no jail time. Getting 2 to 4 games.
Okay. All right.
I think he'll be okay.
Death penalty.
It's 8 games. He gets an 8-game suspension. and likely he will probably get charged.
Claiming that he was racially motivated, pushed out of Miami, and he has some substantial claims. He claims that he was offered money to tank, and he got, like, criticized, and the owner was angry because he was winning.
He talking like Stephen Ross, your uncle or something, Woody.
What?
So how talking so? Like Stephen Ross?
No, I mean, I'm just explaining what his lawsuit okay. is. I got. I can't read the lawsuit without sounding.
No, you got it. You know, might be some kid. You never know, though.
And then he also claims that Stephen Ross had a certain quarterback on his yacht during the season. And they just happened to so be wanting to trade for a certain quarterback during the season. And he walked off the boat because he said he didn't want any type of tampering charges.
That's the stand-up guy, if you ask me.
That's the stand-up guy.
I don't know why we're questioning.
And he understands. Who's questioning him? It sounds like he's ready for somebody to question.
It's people out there that's I mean, look.
The entire NFL came out and against Brian Flores. Like, everyone's denying it. Roger Goodell came out. And here's the thing. I hope Brian Flores takes them all the way to court, wins every step of the way, because that's where you're going to see actual change. If he chooses to settle and take money because, like, he's not sure if he's going to win, nothing changes. And we continue to get what we're getting. I mean, and Brian if he settles, he's never going to coach in the NFL again. If he wins, likely he'll get a head coaching job somewhere, and you'll see actual change. But if he settles, it's over. That's the reason he didn't get this lawsuit. Is the reason he's not the Texans coach. I guarantee it.
Change isn't coming. It's just not. It's unfortunately, the system's not flawed. It's just corrupt, and the system's not changing. We can say whatever we want. We can do whatever we want to do. It's an ownership problem, and until their skin complexion change and we have some more diversity at the ownership level, everything is just going to stay the same. I mean,
I'm pushing back there. See, I don't think it's going to remain the same, because Flores came out and he explained he understands the mountain that he's taking on. He understands that if he wins and there is progress, he will probably never
work
in the NFL
again.
But he's
not going to win. Look, you got to understand this.
Kaepernick won?
No, you got to understand.
No, that's not true. Kaepernick settled. He didn't win.
But the fact that Kaepernick settled admitted that was an admission of guilt by the NFL.
No, it isn't. Rich people
see
settled.
That's the issue. See, that's where, Woody, that's where the difference is. Brian Flores takes this all the way and wins. You may see actual change.
But he's
if
not
he settles,
going
there's an NDA.
To win.
If he settles, there's an NDA. Everything gets blocked.
He's likely not going to win.
Likely, I'd assume that's why Hugh Jackson had to change the wording of what he said, because what he said probably conflicted with some sort of NDA that he signed inside of his contract and or his exit interview.
So look, this is why he is not going to win. Nate just brought it up a few minutes ago. The NFL, their first rebuttal to Flores' accusations was, this is false, this is baseless. They kind of just threw it to the wayside, okay? And now they're coming around after we're hearing more stuff. Now they're coming around saying, we're going to do an investigation. So how can the same governing body who said it was false and baseless and senseless and all this stuff turn around and investigate it? Does that sound fair? Does that sound just? No, it doesn't. The system's corrupt. It's not created. It's not created for any equality, none of that. It's entertainment only. That's all it is. That's all it's ever going to be.
Well, let's talk about the gaslighting that we think was happening. Like, the Texans hired Lovie Smith as their head coach. And CJ, you were going in last night on our group chat that I'd like to put this out there. Like, Lovie Smith, first they fired. I love Lovie Smith too. He's one of the most legendary defensive coordinators ever. Like, resume wise.
Definitely a CEO type.
For sure.
For this job.
It just doesn't make sense. For that. It just didn't make sense from the standpoint, you give David Culley 1 year. A year ago, he was the man for the job.
And
right?
He ended up closing them as way tougher to beat than the beginning of the season.
But David Culley was the receivers coach on a team that had terrible receiver play, didn't have a passing game. Mm-hmm. All right. So they hired David Culley. Didn't make sense at the time. All right. Shout out to my brothers for becoming head coaches. I'm happy for them from that standpoint, but there was a lot more brothers out there who were more qualified for that Houston Texans job. David Culley outperformed what I thought he was going to do, what a lot of people thought he was going to do. For that reason, he deserved to stay. All right. But now you let him go. A month ago, you say he's not the guy for the job, but you hire his replacement. Lovie Smith was the associate head coach on the Houston Texans last year. He was hired by David Culley. Lovie Smith should have never been out of the NFL, but he was for about 4 years after he coached, I want to say either the Tampa Bay Bucks. He was the head coach there, left there, and then he was in Illinois as the head coach for quite a while. So as far as recent experience at the NFL level, David Culley has more of that than Lovie Smith. It just does not make sense, man. All this, it just feels like the NFL owners, they all drew straws. And for the second year in a row, the Houston Texans drew the shortest straw. That's how I feel, man. I don't want to feel this way, but
it's terrible, man.
Has anybody talked about what Flores is, you know, trying to accomplish, though?
No,
there is a list. I mean, I can throw it out there.
Oh, yeah, throw it out there.
Flores is looking to increase influence of Black individuals in hiring, increase the objectivity of hiring, terminating GMs, head coaches, and coordinators, increase the number of Black coordinators, incentivize hiring, retention of Black GMs, head coaches, and coordinators, transparency of pay for GMs, head coaches, and coordinators. Also, the lawsuit is seeking unspecified damages from the NFL, which called the claims without merit in their statement, as we all know. So, yeah. But it does look like change, all the right things he's looking for here at all. I mean, why are we not embracing this? We have to embrace this. This is exactly the way it should be. And honestly, and I joke around all the time about nepotism and things like that. I mean, the NFL is the ultimate nepotism, and the coaching profession in general is the ultimate nepotism. It's who you know, the circles that you're intertwined in, and the NFL is the ultimate circle, right? The only who is tight-knit, those are the ones who are getting the best opportunities at every single turn. Front office jobs, coaching jobs, you name it.
It's all about who you
are. You got to be part of the club.
It's all about that network.
Part of the club or part of the family?
Yeah, it's real.
Mm-hmm. What baby team in the NFL, young team, is set up to win next year? I have one in mind. I'll lead it off. I'm picking the New York Jets because they and I know this is crazy. The Jets have been good, like, what, 3 years out of the last 20? But I'm telling you, man, the way they drafted last year with the very physical defense that Salah's installed, I mean, Michael Carter and then Elijah Moore, both were home run picks last year. Zach Wilson started looking better by the end of the year. Vera Tucker was a great draft pick at guard. Now they have two first-round picks again this year. We're talking a lot of draft. Me and I had mentioned to Brandon on our draft show, or excuse me, after further review, that Kyle Hamilton would be an amazing pick. When you got two extra first-round picks and you let go of Jamal Adams, and then you get the next top young safety to come into the league, and he would be a perfect bookend for Salah's physical defense, bringing him up into the box. Be pretty interesting, man. I think the Jets are just like a few players away from having enough juice to be able to make a playoff run next year.
I don't hate it. I think a question mark we're not talking about, and maybe we'll bring it up next year, is the question mark at quarterback there. I think that offense had several quarterbacks under center last year, and it was the worst when Zach Wilson had it because he was just throwing the ball up in the air. But I agree with you. It is some talent there. I'm going to take your Jets, Woody. I'm going to raise you the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields, ooh, second-year quarterback, just like your boy Joe Burrow. It's some pieces there in Chicago to work with. Aaron Rodgers is getting old. His future is in question. So that division may open up first and foremost. But then you got Justin Fields, who'll have an entire offseason. You got David Montgomery there. You have Khalil Herbert, who emerged in the absence of David Montgomery. And then Darnell Mooney went over 1,000 yards last year, and Allen Robinson was banged up the entire year. So if you look at it, and we just draw parallels to Cincinnati and what they have going on this year, young quarterback, second year, weapons on the outside, and Chase and Higgins and Boyd, got the same thing in Chicago with Mooney and Robinson. Not the same talent, but it's weapons on the outside. And then the defense. I mean, the defense has been solid for the last few years. They can move some parts around, but it's some dogs on that defense. So I'm going to go Chicago Bears.
They still have Khalil Mack. Like, with having an elite pass rusher like that, that speaks volumes. Brandon, who's your pick for next year?
Well, I do like your Jets pick, and I think it kind of it makes a lot of sense. I think the Lions make sense. We joked about it beforehand because nobody wanted to pick the Lions. But the reason I say that is look at how the Bengals built their roster. They did it with a lot of guys who participated in the Senior Bowl. And it was just a few short years ago that the Bengals coaching staff, similar to the Lions and the Jets coaching staffs, were both at the Senior Bowl this past year or this last Senior Bowl here. So I feel like if both teams really embrace and understand the talent that's coming from the college game right now, and they do a good job in the draft this upcoming year as well to kind of bolster their rosters, I think that both teams have an opportunity. And for the Lions, you might be in a weaker division without Aaron Rodgers in that division. And then if Kirk Cousins is not retained in Minnesota, look out.
Thank you, Nate. Go ahead and smile, Nate. You know that makes you a little happy hearing that.
He's been too abused.
But beginning of the season,
no, that's just funny.
I said, you cannot give the Lions. I can't give hope to the Lions because once you give that hope, they take it and they compact it like a snowball, turn it into an ice ball, and then throw it right back at you, right in the face.
Hurts
every time. Every time.
All right, Nate, who's your baby Bengals next year?
Well, we didn't really go over criteria.
They just got to be a young team on the edge.
Go with your gut. I mean, who you got?
Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, I don't hate that.
I didn't know if I was allowed to pick them because
they're a young team for sure.
They were a playoff team. That's my pick. If I'm just going looking at all 32 teams,
Think Jalen Hurts takes the next step? That's what you're saying. Because that's what held them back. He could not throw.
So here's the thing. I think that Nick Sirianni is going to take the next step. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a Jalen Hurts thing. I don't necessarily know if Jalen Hurts will ever be the passer that the Eagles need him to be, but I think he can facilitate the offense and he makes enough plays with his legs to keep them moving. So similar to how Cam Newton got the Panthers to the Super Bowl with his legs and a little bit with his arm, I think you could see a similar thing from Jalen Hurts and the Eagles.
They're going to need a bone-crushing defense like Carolina had that year.
Correct. Complimentary football, yeah.
Don't sleep on the Jags.
So my second pick, Denver Broncos, easily. Super young.
Well, I know he's doing two picks.
Yeah,
No. Time out.
Denver's got a veteran defense.
They have the youngest secondary in the league.
They got some young receivers.
Yeah, I say no to Denver because of nepotism.
the reason why I'm saying Denver, Denver would be my pick if we're not allowed to pick teams that are in the playoffs, right? So like obviously the Eagles are on the rise. They made the playoffs. Broncos haven't made the playoffs, and they are according to every NFL insider, the likely landing spot for Aaron Rodgers.
If Aaron Rodgers gets there, that's a Super Bowl team contender for sure.
I tell you, in this current climate, everybody know my favorite team is the Dallas Cowboys. But in this current climate, my second favorite team is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay. If they get a quarterback.
Oh, no, it's about Mike Tomlin is there. I mean,
I respect that.
If it's us against them, then.
Never had a losing season.
I like conservative Mike.
That statistic is underrated. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's been a quarterback away for about the last 5 or 6 years. So, I mean, hey.
It's true. 100%.
I mean, I'm serious. And he's still a quarterback away.
CJ, I've been on the Ben Roethlisberger sucks train since we started the podcast. I just want to go on record. Like, people are like, no, he's like, what are you talking about? He's fine. Ben Roethlisberger has sucked for three straight years.
Send Kirk on down. Send him down.
Better than Ben.
Oh, all right, y'all. It's the Super Bowl. The game we wait for all year, every year. My favorite week of the year. This is my Christmas. So the Rams, they're building up momentum. You know there's lots of money going on the Rams because it went from 4 points to minus 4.5. So I feel like I hear all this hype about the Bengals, but the money's going heavy on the Rams. Mm-hmm. And whenever the money leans heavy one way, I don't know, man. The NFL, putting on this conspiracy, putting on the tinfoil hat. NFL needs Joe Burrow to win this game.
Can I open on something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. All the pressure in this game is squarely on the shoulder of the Rams. Not just Matthew Stafford, but everybody on that roster who's a veteran, who their window is closing. And their opportunity to win and do this thing is now. And then you've got the coach who there's a lot of pressure to win this thing. And this feels like his best shot to do it against a young Bengals team. And then in addition to that, you add the pressure of the NFL on top of the LA Rams needing that market to explode and have that favorite team over there. Yeah. All those elements on top of one team. Meanwhile, you've got this Cincinnati Bengals team that doesn't know any better coming into this game.
Carefree, not supposed to be here.
Just look out.
The whole world's against us.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. That's
against the world.
That's a great take, Brandon.
There's no better place to be on a football team.
Thought about that one in the shower.
This is the Philadelphia Eagles.
So look,
against the Patriots with Nick Foles.
The Rams should be 4-point favorites, and the Rams should be able to rout the Cincinnati Bengals for all the things that you said, Woody. Like, look, when I put my analytical hat on it, I say, okay, Cincinnati
looks that better.
They
than
can't block a soul. You got to block Aaron Donald. You got to send two at him. You got one on ones on the outside with Von Miller and company. You got a cornerback, Jalen Ramsey.
Don't diss Floyd.
Can I finish my take? You have Jalen Ramsey on the outside who can shadow, Chase. So it's the perfect matchup for the LA Rams. With all that said, going back to what you said, Woody, something just doesn't feel right here. And Joe Burrow is special. So when I put my analysis hat on, I'll say, hey, the Rams should win. They should cover. But then when I'm like, when I go with my gut, I say Cincy. I see Joe Burrow in my dreams.
I'll tell you what, Zach. That's hilarious. But I'll tell you what, Zach Taylor. He's from that Sean McVay tree. We talked about this, CJ. He knows Sean McVay's offense. He knows what Sean wants to do, getting that cruise control spot. But here's the thing. We've seen the Bengals wear teams down with Joe Mixon early, get a couple field goals in the first half, and when they come out in the second half, and these are older dudes. These ain't the youngins with those fresh legs. When we get into that second half, Joe Mixon starts picking up a couple yards more per carry.
He is the key.
I'm telling Joe Mixon's the key to this game. That's why
he can run on this Rams defense.
Joe Mixon is my Super Bowl MVP pick.
Wait, are we all trending like in the direction of the Bengals here?
I said last week that I'm picking the Bengals strictly on conspiracy. The NFL needs Joe Burrow to be the face of the
Do they need Joe Burrow more than they need LA to be?
Yes. They need with Tom Brady's retiring, they need that new one.
He loves the story.
I do.
But I mean, look, it's 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. The NFL can pass that buck to.
Yeah.
But none have literally. Joe is the most marketable right now. Everyone loves this man. There's not a person that I've heard say a negative word about this.
No, that's real. I think Matthew Stafford, man, look, Matthew Stafford, great player. I think he's just – I think he might throw a few picks here. And I think that shadow that follows Matt Stafford as far as him not getting it done or getting over the hump.
Is that Kelly Stafford you're talking about?
I think it may be, you know, the story here.
Well, here, I got something for you, and I think this is going to haunt Stafford. Stafford's thrown some big picks this year, end of games, right? Pressure's on. This is a very physical Cincinnati defense. Like, it hits you in the mouth. This is AFC North at its best, right?
Yeah.
This is, I'm telling you, they're going to hit Stafford early. And he's already been struggling with back problems. It's.
Hey, look, I'm going to play devil's advocate here because it does feel like we're all trending Cincinnati. So for the listeners out there, if you're like, oh, you know what? We're going Cincinnati too. I'm going to just remind you guys of this. The Cincinnati Bengals lost to the Chicago Bears this season. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Cleveland Browns this season. They lost to the New York Jets this season.
This is a different team right now.
They lost to the Chargers by 20 points. So, look, I'm not – you're right, Brandon. This is a different team. But I don't think – I mean, look, they're in the Super Bowl, right? When we think of teams in the Super Bowl, we think, okay, this is a great team. And I'm not saying they're not, but they're still young. They're still inexperienced. So – we don't know what we're going to be honest with you. We could get the young, lively baby Bengals, or we could get some guys who, you know what, the lights are bright, piss down their leg, you know.
That's true. And we have seen Joe Burrow throw some picks this year. Stafford threw 16 picks this year. Joe Burrow threw 15.
All he takes is a big hit, man. Joe Burrow will be taking some hits, too.
He's a small fella.
I mean, so... looking at those picks, though, they most of them probably came in the 3-game losing streak that they had late in the season, and then since then they've seemed to have right the ship. I'm leaning Rams, Bengals cover. The Rams haven't played a game more than a field goal very often this season. They've played a field goal game literally every game except for the broken down, beat up Cardinals, who they dumpstered. The Rams are just a significantly better team on paper. I think Joe Burrow and that team keeps it close. I would pick the Bengals to cover, but absolutely not. The Rams are the better team.
Right.
Zach Taylor's still a young coach. And in this particular case, I feel like you're looking at a reversal of what Sean McVay walked into when he played Bill Belichick. Sean McVay has the experience, and I don't think the Bengals are ready.
So you don't think Zach Taylor working under Sean McVay, being in that offensive scheme and knowing what Sean McVay wants to do? Because Sean McVay is a very by-the-book guy. He's going to create a game plan. He's going to stick to it, sink or swim. And Zach Taylor knows that.
I think that Sean McVay has evolved beyond the just sticking to the game plan, especially this season. I think that if we're talking about the Bucs game, where it seems like they tried to do the exact same thing all game, just hold their lead. I feel like some of those issues were not like the Bucs game shouldn't have been that close. I think we can all agree that.
Like, well, that was a big problem. He didn't put in Sony Michel. He kept giving Cam Akers.
I don't think. Not putting in Sony Michel caused the snap over the head, the miss snap, the fumbles.
Cam Akers fumbled twice.
He did. So did Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp. And honestly, you can make an argument that the only reason the Rams are in the Super Bowl is because Todd Bowles decided to send the house the last two plays of regulation. So
yeah, Rams tried their best to give that game up. That 100%. Is true.
What I will say is that the Rams played very well in that fourth quarter in the last 2 minutes of regulation in the Niners game. So like,
I know these Rams are drained too, because literally we saw them almost give up the lead to Tampa, and then we saw them resiliently come back and take the lead in San Fran. Those were two very emotionally draining games.
I feel like the Rams are galvanized beyond just the emotion. It's a veteran locker room. Von Miller has been here. He's won a Super Bowl. Aaron Donald has been here. Sure. The only person, one of the few people that has been here that hasn't been here is their quarterback. And yeah. To me, I don't think this moment is too big for Matthew Stafford.
I like it. Because I was about to say something about Matthew Stafford. That's all fine and dandy. You're galvanized until Matt Stafford come out there and you know, throw three picks. No, I don't think Joe Burrow will throw three picks. But if I had to bet on somebody throwing three picks this game, I would definitely choose Stafford. But I think that's really what it comes down to. If Stafford plays well, the Rams win this game. Period. If he plays bad, they're going to lose.
It's going to be you can't block Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I mean, it's not just Aaron Donald, though. Von Miller is playing incredibly well this postseason.
Yeah, if you block Aaron Donald, you're not blocking Von Miller very well.
But check this out. And I don't disagree with you guys on
that. Leonard Floyd is no slouch.
But check this. Joe Burrow got sacked nine times versus Tennessee, and they still won.
Still won.
Which is crazy.
Tennessee is not the same offense.
So, but, bro, nine sacks is nine sacks.
Yeah, you shouldn't win a game like that.
So for a quarterback to overcome that and still lead his team to victory is huge. So
that's Tom Brady stuff right there.
They could sack him nine times, and Cincinnati still might be able to win, as crazy as that sounds. It just happened. But if Matt Stafford plays bad, the Rams aren't going to win.
Backwards hat, can't trust him.
I disagree. I disagree. The only, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. I disagree because the Rams have the secondary to cover Jamar Chase. They have the front seven to slow down Joe Mixon, and so Joe Burrow's options are going to be T. Higgins, Tyler Wood, great options, but the rest of that Rams secondary is no slouch either. Honestly, I can see this going two ways. It's going to be super close the entire way, or the Rams open up a giant can of whoop ass, and it's going to be watching the Bengals try to do what they did to the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Kansas City Chiefs has a defense that you can crawl back from. The Rams have a defense that you can crawl back from only if you see drastic mistakes on offense.
You got to run the ball. Both teams will try to do that. I don't think either of these coaches are going to come in there thinking I could see McVay probably trying to set up some play action to do some things eventually. But I feel like Zach Taylor might come into it looking at the run game to take pressure off of Burrow and eventually get him going. But at some point, yeah, it's going to be on the shoulders of Joe Burrow or Matt Stafford, obviously, coming down the line.
I could see
a blowout, though. I could see the Rams doing that. And then I thought that from the very beginning.
If it's close, but I think the Bengals win. But the Rams, I definitely could see a blowout. I agree.
Let's go around the horn.
All right. So I started off this season. I picked the Rams to win it all. But as CJ said, I like the story. I fall in love with a good story. And it's true. And Joey B's the best story, man. Zaddy Joe. And the Cincinnati Bengals going to win the Super Bowl, and Joe Mixon's going to be the Super Bowl MVP. Put it on wax.
All right, so the Bengals are covering, huh?
Uh-huh, Bengals covering. I think it's going to go up to five. I think it's going to go up to five.
Wait, time out. You're not picking the Bengals cover. You're picking the Bengals to win outright. You're saying Bengals money line.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Man.
It's covering and money line different. So Woody's got Bengals straight up.
Right. But the spread is 4.5. So even if we're picking the spread, right?
And OBJ is going to drop a touchdown pass.
Did you just akin Brandon Cooks and OBJ? Is that what you just did?
Listen, OBJ, he's grown. But the OBJ that I know, when he gets into those moments where it needs to happen.
And
all he needs is three fingers, man.
He is about to have a kid. He does have his fiance. She is about to give birth any day now. Ooh, so he does have some distractions out there in LA. Look, the spread's 4.5 right now. Again, my mind
might go to 5.
Tells me LA, but my gut tells me Cincinnati. So I'm going to go Cincinnati to cover. Oh, man. And then as far as that over-under at 48.5, I want to get you guys' opinion on that, too, after.
I'm going under.
Yeah. I think I'm comfortable with going under, too.
Sorry. I don't know if I'd touch it. Man, I don't know who to pick. Who are you going with? Nate?
Nate.
I'm taking the Rams straight up.
But what about covering?
My gut is telling me right now that the Rams are unstoppable against this Bengals defense. I think the Rams cover the 4.5.
The Bengals defense has been playing tough.
The more I think about it, I don't see
what they did to Patrick Mahomes.
I don't see the Bengals moving the ball on this offense at all. I don't think the Bengals are going to move the ball against the Rams defense.
Yeah, that's, you said offense.
I apologize.
Yeah, I think the Rams too are gonna.
I think you're looking at a first half score of 28-3.
Whoa!
Like
Nate's calling a blowout.
But I think the difference is going to be that the Rams aren't going to let off the neck. The Rams have watched what has happened in recent Super Bowls, and they're ready.
Y'all got to pick Super Bowl MVP too. See,
Trey Hendrickson. That's my Super Bowl MVP. Couple sacks, maybe a strip sack. In these games, it always seems like there's like an unsung hero. I probably didn't dig enough for the unsung hero, but I'm going to go Hendrickson.
It's going to be Eli Apple.
There you go.
Right? And it's the pick six, two of them.
I like it. What?
Wow.
Forget, that's my unsung hero, wild card thing.
I'm going to say it's going to be one of the Rams running backs. It's probably going to be a Sony Michel, Cam Akers type of game. I think they're going to attack the middle of the Bengals defense hardcore. They're going to try to establish the run game, and I feel like they're going to win this game based off of that. So whoever is running the football is going to be the guy. They'll give it to Stafford if he throws a couple touchdowns and they win the Super Bowl, I think, ultimately. But I feel like a running back will probably deserve it at the end of the day.
Hey, look, I'm looking up some numbers on past Super Bowls. Some of the most recent Super Bowls, and I'm saying maybe the last 10 or 15 years, Vegas was super wrong about the spread unless it had New England in it. So, last year, Kansas City and Tampa Bay, Kansas City was favored by 3 points. They obviously lost. You had Denver and Carolina.
What was the San Fran?
San Fran, Kansas City. Kansas City was favored by 1.5. I mean, that's an easy one, though. Kansas City. Yeah. And then before that, the three before that, it was all New England. Obviously, they were wrong. Philadelphia beat New England back, 4 or 5 years ago. But then Denver, Carolina. Carolina was favored by 4.5. They lost to Denver 24-10. Seattle was actually favored in the Super Bowl versus New England. We know what happened there. New England won that. Denver was favored by 2 points versus Seattle the year before. Seattle beat them 43-8. Even going back to the San Francisco 49ers, Baltimore Ravens matchup, San Francisco was favored by 4.5 points. Baltimore won by 3 points. So the last two times that the spread has been at least 4.5 points, Vegas has gotten it wrong. The underdog won.
Ooh.
So that makes me feel better about going with the Cincinnati Bengals, to be honest with you.
Nice.
All right, Brandon, you picked your MVP and you went Rams, right?
I don't know who I want to win this
game.
But
man, you make the pick, bro.
You want me to flip a coin? I'll go get a quarter for you.
I mean, look, it should be the Rams. I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Hey! Right?
And if the Bengals win, it's going to be Joe Burrow for MVP. I know I said running back for the Rams, but we all know that ain't going to happen. It's going to end up being, it'll be Matt Stafford. All he has to do is throw 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he'll be good. He'll win the MVP.
Now, I will point out, there's a bad history. There's a bad history on this podcast of all three of us going up against Nate.
It is.
There's a bad history there. Nate, when Nate's the singular call, it's usually turned out well.
And it should.
I've got Matt Stafford. I think he's going to have like 420 passing yards and probably 3 touchdowns. Probably a dumb pick. And he'll write
in a row. It's a home game.
Yeah. No. I said a dumb pick, like a dumb interception. Here's the difference.
A pick
Matthew
six.
Stafford was sacked 30 times all season. That's less than 2 sacks a game. That is less than 2. And if you cannot get pressure, if you give him time in that, it's over. Game
they
over.
They got pressure on Patrick.
Yeah. Patrick's that line second is not half good as Stafford's.
Locked him down.
Matthew Stafford threw 17 picks this season, right? Mm-hmm. Out of those 17 picks, probably 10 of them should have just been sacks. He probably should have just took the sack. A lot of his picks is like, oh, let me just throw it because they about to get me.
Can't trust him.
I will say this, Nate, in your favor and in Brandon's favor, the last team to play a home Super Bowl game in their home stadium won. So
wait, what? I'm,
from that,
did that happen? Team? Hold on. Wait, what just happened?
I mean,
to be fair,
that Tampa crowd is a lot.
That's literally only happened one other time in history. So
that Tampa crowd is a lot better than that LA crowd.
No, for sure.
There's a lot of people from Ohio here. Let me tell you that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it's going to be people at the Super Bowl this Sunday who's just there to drink and, you know, get that Justin Bieber.
So to counter the statistic of Stafford's picks, he's only thrown one pick all postseason.
That's impressive. That's why they're there. That's correct. Why they are where they are. Like I said, if Stafford plays good, the Rams are going to win.
He saved them all for this one.
He's thrown one pick all postseason, and he's only taken 5 sacks all postseason.
Brandon said he saved them all for Sunday.
The pressure, man. The pressure is on the Rams.
Bengals
walking in, cigar smoking, chilling. Watch
this. This is a legacy game right here, man. For both quarterbacks. One is starting his legacy, and one is trying to cement his legacy. This is awesome.
I'm excited. I'm hoping for a good game. To be honest, it was cool watching Tom Brady and the Bucks destroy the Chiefs, but I want to see a good game. I don't think it's going to be a good game, obviously, but I'd like to see it.
How about that halftime show though? Chronic.
No. Yeah, yes, let's go.
CJ's not going to know any.
What y'all know about the Chronic?
I don't know anything about the Chronic.
CJ, do you want me to call you and tell you what songs they are and what albums they're on?
I don't need any of that because I know who Dr. Dre and Kendrick Lamar and Mary J. Blige is and Eminem. Like,
you don't know so no Mary? What are you recanting?
I'm not recanting anything.
He's recanting that Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback.
Oh, God.
Technically, he's never said
and
that.
And that's the show, everybody.
Boom!
So... thank you for tuning in, guys. As always, check out footballscout365.com. Brandon's writing up all these draft profiles on players that were in the Senior Bowl. He's doing a lot of writing right now. Check out our show After Further Review. It's getting a lot of views on YouTube. We're really loving the support we're getting. Please, if you have time, hit that like or subscribe button. We're on our journey to 1,000 followers. And, thanks for tuning in. We out.